was great. Thank you. Maybe the sermon lights for this. I got a couple slides here before we go. We were starting to emulate the 6 o'clock. Never mind. So there's great music at Easter. We've heard some wonderful instrumental music. We get to sing some great congregational music. Nick plays us music like that. There's great music at Easter, and I want to nominate one more song as a new Easter classic. Now, to do that, I have to tell you a story, and it's a story. It's in John 11. It is the story of Lazarus. It is the story of resurrection, but it's a different resurrection. It's not Jesus' resurrection. It's the story of Jesus' close friend Lazarus who died. Now, this is a wonderful story. You might want to read it at home in its entirety. It's a sermon in itself, and I'm not going to preach that, but I want to get to one particular thing that I think speaks to today and this particular Easter, this particular resurrection story. It is Jesus coming finally after he has heard that his best friend has died. And it's now a series of days later. Long story behind all that. But at this point, Jesus has arrived on the scene. He's become overwhelmed with his own emotion. And now he comes up and he tells the crowd, he says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." There aren't many times that I prefer the King James, that old King James language, that old Elizabethan language of the 1600s, but this is one, it seems to me, it would be perfect, because instead of saying he's been dead, the stench has been there, it just says simply, "He stinketh." How great is that? Yeah, sometimes people will try to explain away the resurrection, and they'll say, "Oh, people back then just didn't know he was really dead. They didn't understand." They understood. They understand in very visceral ways what happens when the body dies. And this is one of those examples. And oh, you don't want to go there, Jesus. This is all kinds of bad stuff. But Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me." And then almost like in parentheses, "I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Or in some translations, it says the same thing by simply saying, "Take off the grave clothes, let him go." So did you catch that? There's this story of Lazarus. It is this most amazing story, not just because there is this resurrection, not just because there is something that has never happened before, but because there is still, for all of what God has done through Christ at that moment, there is still some unfinished business. There is still something that needs to be done. It is still waiting for others to participate. There's something that has to happen with those grave clothes. And so with that in mind, I want to nominate to you this new song as a classic song of Easter. And it's by a group, it's an indie group called Bird Talker. So that's my nomination. Hope you caught it. Because this morning I want to talk about the unfinished business of Easter, the work that is still yet to be done. In Lazarus, it was these physical grave clothes that were keeping him. He had been raised from the dead, and yet he couldn't experience what that was until those had come off. I contend that that's a wonderful story for any Easter Sunday, because the good news is for us. But there are things, if not physical grave clothes, there are other kind of grave clothes, other kind of habits, other kind of actions, other kind of attitudes that bind us, that keep us from experiencing Easter. Easter is just something we heard about. Easter is just something that we can affirm, but we don't get to experience it unless we have done some of the work of taking those off. This week, I was sitting down with a pen and just started writing, what are all the things that happen? What are all those things, those attitudes, habits, those actions that get in the way? What are those kind of thoughts that come? What are those kinds of things that keep us from experiencing this resurrection life? And filled up a pad, then I started to organize it. And then it was too complicated, so I reorganized it. So let's do it this way. I grouped it into about five different things, and I'm going to use the word grave as the acronym for that. Very clever, huh? Let's see how this goes. But here's the things that I believe. Here's the things that I have found in myself and in others. And the first one is that letter G, and simply it's God. It is the old idea. It is the old images of God. There is this idea that on Easter, what we are celebrating is that Jesus had to go and get past this angry God so that God would love us anyway. There is this idea that God is there and that God is this angry entity that somehow we have to appease, that somehow we have to cajole, that somehow we have to work around. And as long as we have that, we are bound up. We will never understand the resurrection life. We have this idea that God is trying to and wants to punish us for our sins. And what Easter shows again and again, it's not God who's punishing us, it's our sins that punish us. Let me explain. God doesn't punish us for our anger. Our anger punishes us. God doesn't punish us for our lust or our envy. Those things punish us. God doesn't punish us for our greed or our pride. Those things, the greed and the pride and everything else, those are the things that punish us. They destroy us. They finally lead to death. The old saying that the wages of sin is death is not a condemnation as much as it's an observation. This is what happens when we live outside of the love of God and use whatever God has given us for something other than God or to love our neighbor. It becomes this downward spiral and it implodes on us until it's all gone. What Jesus came to do was to redeem, restore, and renew. And as long as we have this old idea of God, we will never get there. We will miss this great truth that there is nothing that you can do that will make God love you more, and there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. On Easter Sunday, hear this. There is nothing that you or I are going to be able to do to make God love us more or less. And if that's something that's binding you today, it's time to shake that grave cloth off. When you do, you'll get to the next one, which is an R. For me, that's the regrets. It's the regrets and the guilt that people carry around. If anything binds people, it's their past that they can't change, but they live and they hide from it because of the feelings of guilt and of shame. Little story, it's not new with me, and I've heard it a number of times. You may have as well. I think it's appropriate for it today. Brother and sister are playing, and they're throwing rocks and everything, and the little boy throws a rock, and they're at their grandmother's house, and they hit this duck. That's a pet duck, and it dies. And the sister says, "You're really going to get in trouble. Please don't tell anybody." All right, well, we'll see. So they go in, and now it's time, and the sister's being asked, "Will you help wash the dishes?" Says, "Oh, actually, Bobby wants to really wash the dishes for me." And he looks at her and goes, "Remember the duck? Sure, I'll do it." It happens again a little later on about picking up and helping with the, "Well, Bobby will do it." And he, "Remember the duck?" And she does it. finally, a couple days of this goes, and finally Bobby's had enough, and he just is in tears, and he goes to his grandmother and says, I have to tell you what happened, and I threw this rock, and I didn't, and it killed this duck, and it's your pet. And she goes, I know, I saw it. I already forgave you. I just wanted to see how long you were going to be enslaved to your sister. Easter begs the question, how long will we be enslaved to our guilt? How long will it determine what we do and don't do? How long will it keep us from actually being free? How long will it keep us from being honest with one another? How long? How long? Because as long as that is happening, we will never experience this resurrection. We will be tightly bound by this grave cloth that's holding us. It's not as easy, of course, of just letting that go, because as soon as we do, we get to that third letter, which is the A, which has to do with this anger and resentment. There is this unbelievable connection between forgiving somebody, forgiving ourselves, and then forgiving somebody else. Now, on the one hand, anger, if we're honest, is just invigorating. It gives a lot of energy. Or as one author said, he says, of all the seven deadly sins, possibly anger is the most fun. He goes on to say it's because it's invigorating. It's because it talks about how I don't have to examine my own life. He goes on to say, he says, to lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come, to savor that last toothsome morsel, both of the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast for the king. However, he says, the chief drawback, of course, is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. And the skeleton at the feast is you. As long as we insist on keeping others bound by their past, we are not free either. I think that's one reason Jesus kept talking about the need for forgiveness, because you cannot be free. There's this inextricable link between what I am willing to forgive in you and the freedom that I am able to have for myself, because it just keeps destroying us. And nothing binds us tighter. Nothing speaks to the death that lingers around us than a life of resentment and anger that will not let go, and then it will not let go of us. Part of the problem is, as we begin to, we realize it's not just my anger, it's not just the resentment, I can't turn it off. So that gets to the V that I want to talk of briefly a little bit off, and it's just the vicious cycles. I was going to use the word vice, but vice seems to conjure up images of just being naughty. And the vicious cycles talk about what are the things that trigger those things in us that we'd like to get rid of. We can't just stop being angry. We just don't stop being envious. We don't just stop being feeling defensive or feeling what are the things that trigger in you? Those conversations that always get you in the same ditch with your spouse, your child, your parent, your coworker. What are the things that trigger in you those feelings of inadequacy? What are those things that trigger in you that anger, the bitterness, the resentment? What are the things that trigger you? What are those cycles that get started? Wouldn't it be great if we could address those things? Because what Easter is about is liberation. It is to set me free. But we keep getting pulled back by old ways of thinking, old ways of doing. We're going to do a series after this and the rest of the month of April, and we'll talk more about that. But I wanted just to hold that up there today, that there are the things of judgmentalism, the self-defeating habits that keep us from shaking the grave clothes, that keep us from truly being free, and in part because it's hard work, and in part because it may not be worth it. And what I mean by that is this. It's that last letter, the E. It's Easter itself. It's ironic, isn't it? It's ironic that the thing that keeps me from living and experiencing Easter is my own expectations of what takes place. Let me tell you what I'm explaining this. We, at Easter time, we we tend to scoff at, make fun of all the traditions and all the trappings around Easter. We make fun of, like, oh, it's about Easter bunnies and chocolate and plastic grass and all those kind of things, and how nonsensical. But I think it's there, and I think it's nonsensical because we haven't, our version of Easter is so irrelevant. Our version of Easter is so boring that we might as well go to the plastic grass. We might as well go talk about jelly beans. We have made Easter very little more than just a commemoration of an event that took place 2,000 years ago. And sometimes we get into these arguments. We feel like the real point of it is somehow we have to prove it, or that we have to get the right beliefs, because somehow that's what God wants to know. If I don't believe the right thing about Easter, then I don't get to go to heaven. I don't get to participate. And we have made it about the right kind of a commemoration of what took place 2,000 years ago, rather than what Easter did was the beginning of a revolution. It was a way of opening up the world and saying your life matters and what happens matters. It is a validation of the very kingdom, the reign of God, that you can give yourself to. You can trust it. You can entrust yourself to it. You can throw yourself at it. You will fail. It may kill you. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, the reign of God prevails. That we get to be a part of this. We get to be a part of this life that has begun, this life that has no end, that not even death can touch. That is a different way of celebrating Easter. That is a different way of getting to it. So Easter isn't so much a commemoration as it is sort of a July 4th Independence Day celebration, where we remember not only what happened in 1776, but we remind ourselves of what is the ongoing work of freedom. What is the ongoing work of what it means to be a part of this country? What is the things that are still left undone? That's the best metaphor I have for what today is about. It is a day that is to say that all the things that keep people small, all the things that diminish people, that dehumanize, are on notice, because the kingdom of God is here. The reign of God has been declared, and what Christ has inaugurated, we get to implement. But what we implement is what Christ has inaugurated. And Easter says it's going to happen, and we get to give ourselves to it. We get to give ourselves to the things of hunger. We feed orphans. We build houses. We help people who are hurting. We give ourselves to all the things around us, because it's not just us who have the grave clothes on. It's our whole culture. It's our whole world that needs to hear this, and hear this in a way that they can begin to shake off the things that bind them as well. There is a new reality here, and you can live into it. This is a place we want to go to create a place where children can thrive and where people are free. So it's Easter Sunday. You may not agree with my choice, my nomination for a new classic Easter song. That's okay. I nominate it in part because it seems to get to a part of Easter that very few of our hymns get to. Our hymns are very good about talking what God has done. This one talks about the unfinished work that is yet to be done. And so this morning I wanted to start with Lazarus. Lazarus coming out. Lazarus being the first one to taste this resurrection life. Lazarus, because what could be more ridiculous than Lazarus getting resurrected and then staying the rest of his days bound up? The only thing that's more ridiculous is when we do it. The only thing more ridiculous than that is when we come to Easter and we talk about the great things that God has done in the new world, and yet we go out the door just as bound up as when we came in. Because today is an invitation to remember and embody and extend the revolution of God, the reign of God that has broken in. It is a day to shake your grave clothes off. Would you join me in prayer? there are things that are holding us back. The person next to us may not know them, but we do. You do, oh God, you do. You know the habits, you know the attitudes, you know the thoughts, you know the patterns, the things that go well beyond the physical bounds. The emotions, the spiritual places that bind us, that hold us, that keep us. This day, oh God, this day, by your grace, help us, the community, to begin anew, to help unbind one another, to help slowly, graciously, mercifully begin to unwrap those things that are killing one another and that keep us from experiencing Easter and making it nothing more than a vague commemoration. This day, oh God, let the revolution that you began continue in and through us today, through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.